You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. I'm Jessica Rush.
And I'm Kara Cooper. And you're listening to our episode with new mamas, Kara Lindsay and Jennifer Rias. Everyone, thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. I'm Kara Cooper.
And I'm Jessica Rush. And today we've got two mamas with us that we have been trying to get in for ages. We are so excited. We've got Kara Lindsay with us. Kara originated the role of Catherine on Broadway in Disney's Newsies. She's also been a Glinda. She was most recently Cynthia Weil in Beautiful. And
we have Jen Rias. She made her Broadway debut in Rock of Ages. She is a veteran of 5 Broadway ensembles, 3 of which she performed in the same season, people.
Holy moly.
Incredible. And we are so excited to have them here. They both have little babies. We actually tried to get them on the show while they were pregnant. That's how long this has been in the making.
True story. So,
thank you so much for being here, you guys.
Thank you for having us.
This is the best. Yes.
I know.
Oh my God.
Mamas unite.
Yes, exactly. Mamas unite. Ladies, something we discovered when we were, welcome first off. And thank you. I'm so glad
happy to be here.
Finally made this happen. But something we discovered is that your baby boys are only 6 days apart.
That's y'all. Crazy.
That is crazy.
That's nuts. Kara, will you jump in and tell us about your sweet baby?
Sure. Oh my gosh, where do I even begin? I mean, he was born November 12th, 2019. And he was a week early. I could go into a whole long story. I would just keep talking. So I don't know if you want me to do
we
that.
We can come back. We can bookmark it.
I think that's probably best.
And we'll bookmark it to come back to birth stories.
But
and what is his name?
His name is Emerson Charles Massey. Aww. And we named him Emerson because it means brave. And I'm actually wearing his little a necklace from another Broadway mama, Jessica Hirschberg, now Fontana. And she made this for me. This is the best. I don't know if you guys have.
I want one of those.
Yeah, I know. Too. I'll find out the company name and I'll send it to you.
Please do. It's real cute.
But his name means brave. So we like that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jen, when was your baby? When did your baby arrive in the world?
November 6th. So just right before little Emerson, who's so cute. Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh.
What's his
Jen,
name?
Wasn't Carson late? I gave it away.
No, you didn't give anything away. He was the most late. Like, sir, please come out. Are you kidding me?
Like, how long? 42 weeks?
We've got to get this rolling. Almost. Yeah. I had to be induced. So thank goodness. I went in for a checkup and it was like heading to the hospital today. So that kind of a thing. So, but yeah, the due date was Halloween. It's going to be my little pumpkin baby, but he was late. So really like a week late, but yeah.
It felt like forever.
It felt like actual years. It was not right.
Both my babies were 41 weeks on the dot. And for every day I was over, it felt like a year. I was like, I've been pregnant for 6 years now.
Years. Yep.
Please get out of me.
Yep. You've got to go.
That's crazy. Blessings.
Aww. Yeah, right. I know. Elliot was early. She was a week early as well, Kara. So similar. She was ready to come out. And I remember the week before I had her, the doctor was like, okay, well, she's right here. She's ready to go. And she's a little big. So if we're back in this same spot next week, we'll talk about inducing. And I had a convo with her like on the Monday before my appointment on Wednesday. And I was like, girl, I don't want to force you out. I need you to come.
Let's go.
And then she came on Wednesday morning. I was supposed to be back in the office on Wednesday, right?
Good job.
Oh my God.
She listens yeah. to well the done. Directions. She
She's definitely a Virgo. She was like on it. She's like, I got it. I'm on it.
I was just going to say, I mean, we have Scorpios and everybody was like, watch out, watch out. You're having a Scorpio baby. I was like, would you stop?
Like, everyone stop. Says that. And everyone's like, oh, you should have maybe had, it's like, excuse, I'm sorry. What are you talking about? We could choose. Okay. Guess what? He's going to be great. Okay. He's going to yeah. be fine. We're going to,
he's going to be
change
great.
The curve. Yes.
He's going to be great. I am a Scorpio and my son is also a Scorpio.
Thank you. So see, point done. There End you go. Of story. End of story.
Great.
Yep.
I will Yay. Say he's like super duper dramatic. So that may be in your future. So just okay. know that, you know.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
I see Drama. That. I see yeah. it.
So one of the reasons we wanted to have you ladies here with us was to discuss what it's like to be pregnant when you're doing a Broadway show, right? I mean, like, you know, Kara Cooper did Jersey Boys and Kara Lindsay, you were in Beautiful and Rias, you were in the Cher show. But what is it like? How far along were you, Kara? Will you tell us your story first?
Yeah. Well, I found out that I was pregnant the morning of my first rehearsal going into the show.
What?
I was returning. So I had done the show before. I'd filled in a couple times. So this was me coming back, but it was like, yeah, it was the first rehearsal of that third time coming back to fill in. And we just had one day and it was March and I wore my winter coat all day long because I thought people would notice, even though I thought like I was going to be fired.
So cute.
And all this stuff, which obviously was not true. Once I told them, they were really, really excited for me. And we've had a long journey. This is such a long story, but I had PCOS, have PCOS. And I don't know if you guys have talked about
polycystic.
That.
Polycystic. No, we haven't.
Oh. We haven't.
Polycystic ovarian syndrome. So it just, it's basically you don't ovulate. And it's a hormonal disorder. And so it was just going to be a little bit harder for me. So this was like, he was like our little miracle baby. Yeah. So it was amazing and unexpected and like wonderful. And, but then it came with, oh my God, I'm starting this job. And what am I going to do?
Right. Yeah.
And she's Cynthia Weil is, she's the fashionista. All of her costumes are really form fitting. I know you guys know that. I mean, Jersey Boys, red dress, right?
Right. That was my best.
Yeah. But we all were bare midriff for the opening. So
yeah.
No, absolutely not. I did not have to do that. God. I mean, so I found out that day and freaking out, I'm really excited, also really scared and, but mostly excited. And I told oh my gosh, I have no words, costume supervisor, about it. And because everything changed immediately for me. I mean, like, boobs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're going to have to take this out because I can't breathe. And it was just, he took things out like centimeter by centimeter because they still wanted that silhouette of Cynthia Weil. So they were wonderful and so understanding. And it was really just a secret between us. And I didn't tell anybody until I was 3 months pregnant and they had already taken out my costumes like 6 times, but really, really slowly. And
nobody else had noticed.
No one knew?
Nobody knew except for my co-star, Ben Jacoby, because there were times where morning sickness, which isn't just in the morning, you know, happened. And I was like, this is why. So, but he was so sweet and so excited for me. And I only told him. And then also Stephanie Martignetti. I don't know if you guys know her.
Yeah.
She was the Cynthia Weil understudy. And she was also pregnant at the same time. Ah. It's 5 weeks behind me. So I had actually a vacation that I had planned or before I knew I was pregnant, when I thought I was going to be in the show for a year and it was only going to be 5.5 months. So I told her, you know, I'm not going to be taking this vacation anymore. And I just wanted to tell you, but I'm going to be gone forever. Not forever. I'm pregnant. And she was like, oh my God, so am I.
Oh my gosh.
It was crazy.
That's, so That's amazing.
It was really amazing. So anyway.
That's really fun.
I left at 5 months pregnant. And then I swear, like I grew exponentially.
Yeah, same. Like I was 17 weeks pregnant when I left, when I finished doing the show I was doing in Chicago. I was doing Gypsy and I was 17 weeks pregnant. And the very like, I swear to God, I was like, pop, like everything, my whole body subconsciously was like, you can release now. And it was just it like, knows. And I'm visibly pregnant. Yeah, exactly. So I mean, Rias, I mean, you were wearing Bob Mackie.
It was not right about it.
First of all, I found out I was pregnant the day after we got married. Mike and I got married. So we were in Bermuda. Like, you know, just very intimate, you know, went to Bermuda and it was amazing. And the very next morning at the buffet at the hotel, it was like, you know, all the friends and family. And I was like, something's not right. But I was like, you know what? I hit that Prosecco last night. So I don't know. Hit that champagne. But then that night at dinner, I was freaking out and I was like, I cannot calm down. And we're at a Mexican restaurant and that's my jam. And the fact that I'm not drinking margaritas because I'm like in my head, I was like, Mike ran to a drugstore like blocks away and was like, we have to find out. Just went in the bathroom at the restaurant, just pretending to have like all kinds of stomach issues to explain why we were gone for so long. Anyways, found out. So that was like, wait, what? So that was crazy. And then, yeah, I mean, the Cher show, I was like, what?
Were you guys running at that point? Were you already running?
We were running. We'd been open a couple months. Yeah. So I feel you, though. It was like instantly my brain knew a little bit and I started to feel things changing. I was like, how is this possible? Like, first day back in the show, I was like, what is this? Like, my boobs are huge. There's no room for any growth in these costumes. I mean,
not in those costumes.
We start in a thong.
Those costumes were, oh my God, nightmares. Nightmares. It makes my heart race right now just thinking about it.
Absolutely. I mean, literally, and the costumes only get smaller as the show goes on. So it's like, you know, you think you're in the clear. Okay, let me get that opening song out of the way. No, you're not. No, you're not out of the way. You have so much left. But yeah, I didn't tell anybody either. I told a couple of the girls in the dressing room who I sat right next to. And one of them, Ashley, had been a mom before. So I was like, I need someone to, oh my gosh, what's happening? So I told her, but I also told the costume super, they were so amazing. And they were like, anytime anything feels a certain way, you know, like we'll take it out. We want you in the show as long as possible. I wanted to stay as long as possible, but I mean, I was really trying it. I stayed until 4 months, which was like, in those costumes, yeah. I mean, I wish I could have stayed longer because I had so much fun in the show and I had to leave right before the Tonys, which was like,
that's such a
bummer. Yeah. But anyways, it was awesome. It was so great.
Well, it's like, it's so funny that you both said that about how you felt like immediately people could tell, like, because you know, you were like, oh my God, because we're so in tune to our bodies. Right. Yeah. I mean, as performers, especially we're aware of how we look, you know, unhealthily at times.
Put the same thing on every day. Same costume on. So it's a barometer of like how you're feeling from day to day, whether you're, you know,
nothing is more
truthful at lunch.
Yeah,
putting the same thing on.
Particularly after they've gone to the dry cleaners, right? Like, or after you go on your vacation when you come back and they've cleaned all your costumes and you're like, oh my God, what?
You do that check with your dressers. You're like, tell me that was a dry cleaning.
This
got cleaned, right?
The matinee.
And like, no. And you're like, go.
Yeah. The matinee. This is the evening hook.
Oh my God. Yeah, the difference in the matinee to the evening is just insane.
Astounding. It's crazy.
It's all very true. I was convinced, though, I was in Chicago Shakes doing Gypsy Chicago Shakes, and we all shared a dressing room, all the women, because there are only two dressing rooms there. And I was convinced that everyone could tell. Cause when I got there, I was like, I was like 2 weeks pregnant, two or three, like very early on. And I remember getting there and thinking like, I can't tell anybody because I want to do this contract. I want to get my health weeks. Yeah. I was like, so I need to do this. And I thought everyone can tell. And I was convinced in that dressing room and no one knew. And I told them the last day after we closed the show, I was like, and I wasn't the only one stripping. Like there was a baby.
That's so exciting.
But isn't it wild? Like we think for sure, like everyone can tell. My boobs are bigger. Yeah. My waist is bigger.
Oh yeah. I feel like, Jess, though, that because you came into it as somebody new, like being in our dressing room at Jersey Boys for years, mm-hmm. all those girls knew me so well. First of all, knew what I ate normally. So when I started to eat things that I didn't normally eat, they're like, what's going on here? What's going on? Yep. So they all were keyed That's in.
True. When Kara Cooper started eating a bowl from Chipotle, like a burrito bowl from Chipotle, as opposed to like an apple and peanut butter or rice cakes and things like this, I was like, something's happening. But also, like, I had gone on vacation and I came back and it had only been gone a week ago. Oh, no, 2 weeks. It was to Italy. So it was 2 weeks. I came back and Kara was, her back was to me and she was changing. And the slightest bit extra around, like, at her waistline.
You can just tell.
Like, Kara's also, like, super, she's like a gymnast fit person, like body. She's not a gymnast, but you know what I mean? Like her body is amazing. And I looked at her from behind and I went home that night and I was like, I mark my word to Eric, to my husband. I was like, mark my word. If Kara Cooper is not pregnant right now, she's trying to get pregnant because her body is different. And sure enough,
that's like, awesome. But,
like, so clearly I couldn't hide it very well.
Your body is so fierce that any different change, you can just tell. Well,
I am rocking a quarantine bod right now. I don't know about you guys.
Oh my God. Well, moms, tell us about this. Cause you know, the fourth trimester is often what people call it. And I know your babies are 6 months, but we've been in this now for 2 months in this shutdown and in this quarantine. So talk to us about what that's like to be home with a newborn in this time.
Holy smokes. Okay. Well, actually for me, because, you know, my husband is in, you know, our same industry, it's actually been amazing because it was rough there for a while. It was, you know, I actually didn't realize until being on maternity leave and then, you know, home with the baby all the time when he was going to do his 8 shows a week, I was like, our schedules are insane. Like, we're so used to it that we do it. We know when we have to leave. It's like, you know, it's such a commitment. But being on the other end of it, I was like, you're leaving again already? What are you doing? Oh my God, you have to go to work. So that was crazy. So actually to have him home during this time with Carson, you know, it's been absolutely amazing. But also crazy. I also have 2 stepchildren who are 9 and 12 and they're awesome, but you know, we have them over 50% of the week. And so that's been with Carson has been like, doing the homeschooling, doing all of that. I know you guys, mamas are feeling all of that. So that's been crazy too. But I mean, I guess trying to look to the positive of, you know, having the family time and being home during this quarantine, but it's also just been, wow, very different than it would have been, you know, like no visitors, no help, no family, no, it's, are you feeling that way, Kara? Have you had that?
Are you in New York right now? Are you in New York City?
Yeah, Long Island.
Oh, okay. We came upstate to my mom's house. We're in a 1-bedroom apartment and he has like a little nook in our apartment there, but our laundry is like 5 blocks away. I can't do it. So we came up here, which was really so necessary. And it's been nice to like take him for walks. And I mean, but I was talking with Kevin, my husband, and we were like, we've been in quarantine since he was born. Like, you know, that first couple, you're like washing your hands all the time because you don't want them to get the flu and whatever. So we've been practicing this whole quarantine thing for so long. And we're like, we're so good at it. But I mean, I started to feel like with just turning on the news when all this was happening, it just kind of felt like, oh my God, the mama protector. I was like, oh my God, what can I do to make sure that you're safe? Like you're brand new. You're my little miracle. What can we do? So we came right up here, and it's been really wonderful. And like we call my mom Nani. So she gets to have all this time with her grandson, and, they have like, this beautiful relationship, which is so cute. She taught him how to stick out his tongue. So whenever he sees anybody, he's like, you can't see 'cause it's a podcast, but just picture me sticking out my tongue and smiling. That's what he does. He's like, just, that's his new trick. And it's so sweet. So really the quality time is just amazing. And really watching everything that, like, he's growing so much. He started here at 4 months in a swaddle with both arms in still, because he's just likes that. And then he went to one arm, then both arms. Now he's in a sleep sack and he's rolling over. It's like so much happens in that time, in this time.
Crazy.
It's just,
it's wild.
Every day is something new.
Yeah. Totally. And we just get to really take it in right now. So. Yeah.
I love that you guys are really able to spend that time to focus on it. And we were talking about how, you know, you guys were kind of in the fourth trimester, right? They say the first 3 months after a baby's born is the fourth trimester. And kind of after that is when you re-enter work in one way or another. Mm-hmm. It seems that way. I mean, some people do it sooner, some people do it a little bit later. But for me, that was when I like started to feel the itch again. Yeah. And I don't know if either of you had work planned. But it, in a strange way, has it been a gift to not have the pressure to go back to work, or are you wanting to be doing that?
I did go back when he was 9 weeks, but it was easy. It was easy though. It, my husband and I do these concerts in Epcot through Disney on Broadway. So Kevin worked at doing Tarzan on Broadway, and I did Newsies. So because of that, we do these concerts in Epcot, and it's only 3 to 4 weeks. And it's at most, it's 4 hours a day. And then you get a day off every 2 days. It's so easy. So it was like the nicest, like ease into work. And, I mean, I was still breastfeeding, and figuring that out was like crazy. But my mom came down to help me. So I feel like now that I did that, I feel like I'm okay. I'm ready, but now we're not.
Exactly.
So
yeah, I guess I would say kind of at that, like, well, Carson was rough for a while. He was rough at like the 4.5-5 month mark. He really like, I was like, oh, there you are. Okay. I can like see that we'll be able to go back to some kind of a life. Like I'll be able to wash my face maybe like, I don't know, once a week at least. We'll start there. You know, it was like, okay. So then I was like, oh man, yeah, I'm starting to feel, I did a TV show for a day and I was like, that was a good kind of lead in to see like, you know, that first day away was like, oh my God. But it was like, oh yeah, okay, we can do this. And then, yeah, I started, you know, putting out feelers, seeing what was happening, and then this kind of happened. So yeah, I'm definitely feeling like be ready for whatever happens, if things are happening and when they happen. I mean, good golly. But yeah, I think the pressure has definitely been alleviated because of that. You know, we're not putting that pressure on ourselves to be at every audition and every, you know.
And you don't feel like you're missing out on anything.
I know.
You know, I think part of when you're a new mom, it's that decision like, oh, I really need to go to this audition to put myself out there, but it might not feel right for you to do that. So it's nice maybe that pressure is taken, is lifted right now.
Absolutely.
Because I don't feel any of that at all.
I know, right? Thank you for actually bringing this up because, yeah, we're lucky in that regard at the moment.
Yeah. I think so. You know, it's like, because I remember Kara saying to me, I think when Elliot was a baby, like an audition came in, you know, like 2 weeks out for Sideshow, and it would have started like she was a month old. And that was a dream show for me. Like I, you know, to stand by, and I thought, oh my God, I really want to go. But Kara said something, you know, she said, you will never get this time back, you know? And it's so true, you know, like she's like, go if you want, do it if you want. But that's something that I really treasure, is that ultimately I was home for the first 5 months with Elliot, you know? And so it is, there is something to the pressure being off, that you don't, that you can just really enjoy it, especially like you said, Kara, your miracle baby, you know, and like, you have Carson, and like, since you have the kids with y'all so much of the time, the older kids, it's nice that in the times when they're with their mom, you three can just be together, and Mike is there, as opposed to like going into the theater. on the weekends and all the stuff. So, oh,
man. And having your husband home for bedtime with a baby is key. I remember when both with both my kids, when my husband went back to work, I was like, oh God. And especially when I had the two and had bath and bedtime by myself. I mean, still they're 6 and 3 and I still, you know, don't like doing it on my own, but I do. But not right now. And I'm very grateful for that.
Right? It's awesome. My gosh.
I really don't know how you're doing it with two. Like,
I don't either.
You just do it. You just do it. You get there.
It's amazing.
If that's something that you want.
Bowing down to Carol.
I bowed down because Carson came out and looked and I was like, so we're good? We're good.
Well, I mean, you guys do have... You have the others too.
Absolutely.
You know?
But just those the process alone, the process of the actual situation, you know what I'm saying?
What were y'all first? I want to hear a birth story.
It was so brutal. It was so brutal. You know what? I shouldn't say that. People have definitely had it worse, but it was rough. So yeah. So went in for my appointment. My doctors only like to go to 41 weeks. I'm remembering this now. So we were like coming up on that. So I had an appointment on Monday and then a final one on Thursday. And they were like, if you're not rolling by Thursday, then we're going to induce.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
So it was the Monday. Felt nothing, felt no anything right happening. So we go in and we get the ultrasound and, you know, everything's fine. Then the technician's taking forever afterwards. And we're like, I'm starting to think something's wrong, like freaking out. Nope. Woman comes back in and is like, okay, yep. Go into the office. And so the doctor comes in to us and is like, so are you guys ready? And we're like, we are ready. Let's go. And she's like, no, you're going to the hospital. Like, are you ready right now? We're like, oh my God. They're like, the technician didn't tell you. We're like, no. Anyways, my fluid was getting low. So they're like, you know what? He's totally fine right now, but let's just get you in there. Let's get it rolling. Like, let's just do it. So it was fine. Thank God. Mike had some insight. He was like, how many hours do we have? Can we have a few? Can we go home, do a meal, do a shower, you know? So we did that and then went to the hospital. There were a million people there. Once again, people were like, you should have had your baby yesterday. No one was here. You're like, what's wrong with you? Okay. Thank you so much. That's so helpful. So once again, Mike was like, can we go to the mall and just walk? Because we're going to be sitting here for hours. It was amazing. So we had like a final date. It was really awesome. So got back there, went in. Things got rolling quick. So they came and got us. And then, I was positive for strep. So I had to be on antibiotics like right away for like the strep B. Yeah. So I already knew I was going to be hooked up from the jump. You know what I mean? So I was hooked up. So yeah. So we started, they're like, we're going to put you on we want to put you on the lowest dose of the induction medication to see. I was like, great. 12 hours go by, nothing happened. So, okay, great. But I'm still feeling nothing. I'm still like, the nurses would come by and they're like, oh, you're way too happy. Nothing's happening. I was like, oh man.
Were you dilating at all?
Nope.
Oh my gosh.
I was one. I went in at one and I was still one. So I was like, wow. Okay. So finally they put me on the Pitocin. They're like, okay, now we're going to get moving. And like a couple hours later, my water broke. And then that's when it started happening. And I was like, I'm not going to do the epidural. Like, you know, we're good. Hours and hours and hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, dying, doing the labor Olympics. Like, God bless Mike. I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck? Finally, I was like, doc, you got to get in here. I need to know, are we going to be doing this 20 more hours or we go, because this is, I can't, you know. So she comes back in, checks me 3 centimeters after all that time. I was like, oh my God. Okay. So I was like, give me the epidural. So got the epidural, fine. Slept for like an hour, hallelujah. And then I woke up in more pain than ever. And I was like, what is happening? Am I, do I have no pain tolerance? And they were like, the doctors aren't going to check you. There's no way. It's like, da, da, da. And I was like, oh no, I know my body. Get someone in here. And they were like, you're 9.5 centimeters. It's go time. I was like, I told you. Anyways, so then things got, then things got rolling. I mean, it's been days now at this point. Went in Monday and then now it's, you know, Wednesday morning. Oh my God. So slept the 1 hour, you know how it is. You don't sleep. There's no, it's whatever. So yeah. So then pushed for 3.5 hours. It was so brutal. You know, at that point, the epidural was like, I never even felt any relief. I don't know what happened. They were like, we can give you more, but then things got rolling and it was like too late and it was all a mess. So
did they not put it in the right place? Like, did they miss it? I feel like the epidural went into like a muscle and not into your spine.
Did you still feel your leg?
Oh, I felt everything. That's what I was expecting. Like, I was expecting to not feel anything. And I was like, I mean, they had me laboring on a bar, like, you guys heard about this, like a bar that's up and over the bed and my legs went on each one. And so, I mean, I had to use the strength of my legs to do that. So I was in a full aerobic situation. I was like, can a girl get some drugs up in here? No. So,
oh my God.
But anyways, pushed forever and then still had to be like vacuumed out. And, but my doctor was amazing. She's like, you're an athlete. I don't want you to have surgery. We're going to try every single way to get this baby out. So, and thankfully Carson was a rock star and his heart rate never like dropped. He was so good the whole time. So I was able to do it. But I mean, it was so, I bow down to every mother everywhere, everywhere.
Same.
Absolutely everywhere. I don't understand. Yeah. So that's when I looked up and I was like, we're good, huh? So that's it. Okay.
We're never doing this again.
We're not doing this again. One time done. With this.
That was really long. Okay, Kara, go. Sorry, so
no,
long.
I mean, that wasn't long. That's, I mean, for how many days you went?
I'm burning
that
up. It's hot. I think I'm in labor again. I'm so hot. I'm so.
It's PTSD.
It really is. It's still. People are like, you forget. I didn't forget. Never forget.
Well, you guys are still never close enough for you guys to remember. Like I remember, like going over it again after and after, trying to remember it. And now when I think about it, like I know in my head how painful it was, but I can't feel in my body what that felt like. Well, you guys can still feel it. I know that you can still feel it with a 6-month-old.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes. With Emerson, you're so hot. She had to put her hair up.
I'm burning up, guys. I'm burning up. I'm really back. I'm back in it. Okay.
It's a lot. Just thinking about how you, the epidural didn't work. Owie. Anyway, but so I went in for the 39-week, ultrasound and, you know, that checkup and, everything looked somewhat normal. And then, my OBGYN saw the numbers for Emerson's stomach was small. It was measuring small. So she was like, that's concerning to me. That means that maybe your placenta isn't, working quite as well for him. So I want to get him out. And I was like, oh, okay. And previously on all the other visits, she was like, you're going to be late. You're going to be late. You're not progressing at all and all this stuff. So I was like, I was planning to see Jagged Little Pill that week. I was planning to see all these things. So I was like, I got like all the time. I hadn't packed a bag. I was so behind. So I rushed home. I called my mother who was going to fly in and like help and be there for it. So I called her and she drove in. And then so I said to my OBGYN, I was like, can I just have tonight? Like, can I have tonight to just get my shit together? Can you say shit on this podcast?
Yeah,
okay.
Totally.
can I just have a second to gather? And she was like, absolutely. He will be fine. Just come in first thing tomorrow morning. So I did that. I gathered all my stuff. And then I came in the next morning and she was so great. She was so awesome and totally available. And, so they started with, Cervidel. And that didn't really, it did a little something. They had to like wait some time, and Emerson's heart rate started dropping with each contraction. He's a very sensitive baby. So when you said your baby boy is dramatic, Kara, I'm like, oh my God. he started drama. Just drama. But so he just kept any contraction. And you, as I felt it, I was like, oh, this is a big one. And then the nurses would come running in. They'd flip me over to all these things to try and get his heart rate back up. And I was like, oh my God, what is happening?
It's the wildest feeling, isn't it?
It's awful.
It's crazy. Because also you're like, you feel like a beached whale and you're hooked up to all this stuff. And they're like, we're going to flip you over as fast as we possibly can. You're like, that's not possible. What do you mean you're going to flip me over?
And then, and then suddenly I'm upside down. So this happened. So they did that multiple times. We were actually playing Phase 10 for a little while. Do you guys know that card game?
Yeah.
Phase 10. Yeah. So fun. It became not fun very quickly, though. dropping many times over like 7 hours. And then finally, the doctor came in and was like, we're not doing this anymore. This is not healthy for your baby. So we are going to do a C-section. And I was like, not planning on that. None of my family had had one. So I thought like I was immune to that. But nobody is. So we went in for that. And luckily I didn't get to the Pitocin part. So like, but they did give me a shot to stop the contractions. So it was like, I had all this stuff that was making me contract. And then they had to give me something that stopped them because the contractions were making his heart rate drop. So, and because of that, I started to shake. They told me that would happen, but I was like, I'm shaking right now.
Oh my gosh.
But I like visibly shaking, and it was so crazy. And then my husband got in all the garb, and we went into the OR and like did the C-section, which is crazy. They did a spinal tap because I didn't get an epidural yet. So they did a spinal tap, which is a little bit better. And but what's weird and what I didn't expect, did you guys have a C-section?
Yeah, I had two.
You did?
Two emergency, same. So I understand. And like when you were talking about the flipping over and the heart rate dropping, I was like, that is my story.
I
know it
very well. I just never really wrapped my mind around a C-section, and I wish I had. I just wish I had like educated myself, because I wouldn't have been as afraid, because in the moment I was really afraid. I was really scared. And
oh yeah, you don't know what that has going on.
He's like, you're okay. And I was like, am I? But it's just scary, and you also feel it ish.
You really feel the tugging, like you feel them moving things around. It's very bizarre. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not, yeah.
No, I wasn't expecting Warriors. That. Like, I'm not numb. You need to numb me more. They're like, no, you actually are. What we're doing, you would be screaming. I was like, what?
Oh my God. That's like, so,
is that supposed to help me? No, I'm so sorry. But
and how was Kevin?
Here's what's interesting. He actually went to school to be a doctor, and, but he's afraid of needles and faints. So
he made it all the way to school to be a doctor. And well, then
he was pre-med, so he didn't go to med school yet. He, on his break before med school, he like moved to New York and like did all the things, and that's now the rest of his history. He does theater. But he was, and I was so afraid the whole time, like any, even normal labor, that he would just faint. But he held it together so well. He was such a rock, and like just his eyeball looking at me, I was like, thank you, God. Thank you, Kevin, for being here. But and then the whole like recovery after a C-section is really interesting.
That I don't know how you guys do it. I don't know how you do it.
I mean, but we're not recovering on the other end. Although with my second, I was pushing by the time we had to end up doing a C-section. Oh, so I had like a little bit of both. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so that
God,
I was
not fair.
And a lot of women go through that. But I think it's something that really needs to be addressed a little bit more. I think it needs to be part of your education before you you give birth, because it is an option. So many people end up with a C-section and there's shame in it. It's to preserve the life of you and your child.
Right. Thank God for it. Truly.
Little things. I had friends who had them and they said just little things like, if you have a shelf higher in your bathroom, put the shampoo up there instead of somewhere where you have to bend down to get it. Just like silly little things that are making the movement less on your body. The hardest thing for me, and I don't know if you felt this way, Kara, was not feeling like I could pick my baby up at any moment. And I had big babies. Both of my girl was almost 9 pounds and my son was over 9 pounds. So like they were heavy. I know.
Kara.
Big babies run in my family. It just is what it is.
And you're so funny. But
it just truthfully, like my grandmother was 3 inches shorter than me, super petite, and all her babies are big. It's just like whatever. It is in the genes somehow. But I didn't like that I couldn't just at a whim in the middle of the night when the baby was crying, you know, when they're newborn, it was so hard to like roll over and physically get myself into a position to pick them up. And my husband was amazing. He would hear them cry. He would run to get them and give them. I mean, they were in our room. It wasn't like they were far away, but he was on it. I didn't like feeling like I needed to depend on somebody else, you know, to do
that. I know. I was thinking that like with single moms, how do single moms have a C-section or even just have a hard delivery? Like, how do you do that?
Because the baby do anything. I thought about that so many times. Oh my gosh.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's unreal what the process is and the recovery after. And it's such a fog, right? You're in such a fog. I mean, I vaguely recall. I don't remember much of it. And I can remember in the moment, because this is another thing that Kara Cooper. See, you have a friend who does it first. Yeah. And then they tell you all the things that you need to know. Or you listen to Mama's Talking Loud and we'll
tell
you.
That's right.
But like, Kara told me, you know, she was like, try to take it in, like really try to remember these moments, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting there thinking, all right, take it in, like take this in. Mm-hmm. What does this feel like? Do I remember what it feels like? Nope. Like I don't actually.
But you remember taking the moment.
I remember like taking it in. So I was present in that moment. I do remember like consciously trying to take it in, but it's such a fog.
That recovery is not cute. It's not cute.
Oh my God. I don't know how y'all do. Like I have the same scar. I had fibroid tumors when I was in my early 20s and they did essentially a C-section in order to remove them from my uterus. And so I have that incision like you guys have. And I remember being afraid to stand upright. Do you know what I mean? Like walking around my house bent over, and I can't imagine having to have a baby with that. You guys are rock stars.
Why strong women who can handle that. That's where that happens.
That's what being a mom is. It's like, like inducted by fire. You know, you just do it because you have to take care of this child. There's no choice, you know.
And those vaginal deliveries, thank goodness for those witch hazel pads that you put in the fridge and then you put them in your underpants. Those are a godsend.
What are they called again? Are they called something?
They're padsicles or something, right?
What?
Padsicles, like when you put the pad with the witch hazel in the freezer and the
fridge and the freezer, and then you put them in, they feel
get
so
it in the hoot nanny, and you get it the whole. It's no.
I had prepped for all of that. I was convinced it was going to be vaginal. It was going to be without medication, all those things, and all that went out the window.
Nothing we plan.
I keep thinking though, like if this was like the 1800s and we couldn't have a C-section, or did they do that back then? I don't think so.
Well, don't watch. What's that TV show? Oh my God.
The Midwife.
No, well, there's called The Midwife. That's in the 50s. But there is a TV show where they show like the very first C-section happening in the first scene. It's one of those like... I don't want to say like Penny Dreadful, but it's like that. You know what I mean? We tried to watch it and we watched this first scene of this C-section going horribly wrong. And Eric was like, we won't be watching. You can't. We're not watching that.
That sounds dreadful. All right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It might have been Penny Dreadful. It was just like, No. So they did them at one point, but they weren't very successful. Right. It wasn't something you wanted
We've been through enough. We don't need to watch that.
Yeah. No. We don't. True. But yes, it is much easier to have a child in some regards. I mean, at least for the aftermath with, you know, the witch hazel pads. And we're not in you know, we're not in the desert, you know, in the red tent or something like that. Did y'all read that book? That was a really good book.
Good. Good.
Put it on your list, ladies.
Yes.
Okay.
Because now you have you can read right now because your babies nap.
Sleep. Your babies sleep. Do they sleep at night? Are they sleeping at night?
Here and there. Here and there.
Yeah. What's your baby schedule like?
Jennifer? Like last night, he did great. We put him down at 8 and he woke up at 6.
Oh, that's exactly what he did.
That was amazing. But usually he wakes up at like 2 for a feeding still. So,
okay.
Working on that. But I'll take it. Are you breastfeeding? Pardon?
Are you breastfeeding?
No. And I just finished pumping like a little bit ago. So,
when did you start? Like, were you exclusively pumping or were you breastfeeding and then you switched over?
I was exclusively breastfeeding until like 3.5 months. And like I said, he was just such a cranky baby that every time we went to the doctor's office, they were like, he's hungry. Like, he's in the 95th percentile for height. He is a huge baby. I'm like, what do you mean he's hungry? I'm literally, all I do is have him on my boob. Like, there's, and you know, I've pumped before. I know I'm producing milk. Like, I don't know what else. I would get so mad at my husband because he would say it. And then the doctor would say it. And I'd be like, oh, I think I owe you an apology. I'm sorry. Anyways, so the doctor was like, you made it through 3 months, like start adding in formula, see if that makes a difference. I mean, like even then, different baby. He just could not get enough food. So we were supplementing. So then I supplemented until like 4.5, 5 months. So I was doing both. And then it was like, you know what? He is like, we started giving him sweet potato and all kinds of food like at 5 months. So, you know, it was like, good. That was the end of my journey.
That's sort of. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you.
Sorry, no, go ahead, Kara. Sorry.
I was just going to say, does that mean that your husband can take some of the, if he wakes up in the middle of the night and needs to?
Absolutely. Yep.
That's key right there.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome. He instantly, he was like, let me get in there. So that was great.
That's helpful that Mike has been through it. I mean, like you said before, when you were getting ready to go to the hospital, Mike, he knew what questions, he knew it would take a while. He knew that you need, you know, and what
I would have never
got there. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, let us eat something. Let us get our shit together and then we'll go, you know, because he's been down that road before.
I would have sat in the waiting room for 10 hours just because I would be like, this is what we're supposed to do. No, not smart, you know. So just like follows the rules, Rias over here. Not it. So
not it.
So no, that's not going to work here. So anyways, yeah, I mean, I definitely was planning on breastfeeding like for so long and it just wasn't the journey. So I'm so happy we got that time though. Cause I loved it. It was awesome.
And that's okay that's not the
journey. It is. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Kara, have you had a similar, what's your experience been like?
Well, I feel like our babies are going to be friends. They're like,
Emerson, come on, come over.
Emerson in prison. They're like just the same temperament. I mean, I like forced Emerson to nurse. I just wanted that so badly for him, for us, and I knew it was good for his health, all that stuff. But he was always so cranky too. He was, I don't know what it was, but I had an oversupply. And he was born with a small stomach. So it was like, oh my God, are you serious?
I know, we're like having the same story here. We have the same name. We had the same birth story.
This is amazing. Kismet.
Yeah. That's so crazy. I had never even heard of oversupply, but it's basically you're like waterboarding your child with breast milk.
Oh my God.
So much milk.
And that's a blessing. It was a blessing to like have milk.
Oh,
And also like sort of a curse because it's like too much in their face and they don't know what to do with it and then they have tummy problems. But then I started pumping a little more and like giving him a bottle, he was much more responsive to that. And then I started supplementing with formula and to like start to wean. And now just as of Mother's Day, that's when I stopped completely.
Do you know what? I did that too.
You did?
The last time I nursed Elliot was on my Mother's Day when she was 9 months. She was 9 months, but yeah, that was. Of course I cried. Did I cry? Oh my god! Yes. But that was the last time was Mother's Day. Aww. Oh, Carol. I know.
It's so sad. It's so, I was like, he's ready. He's so ready. I'm ready. I've been forcing it. But then you still cry.
Yeah.
Totally. It's I think it's super special.
And you know, it's fed is best, obviously, like however you need to feed your baby. But to have that experience is something that it's the one thing, it's really the only thing I miss, to be honest, like that and like feeling her move inside my body. Like those are the two things that I think, oh, to have another one. But then I say no, but what?
There's another one. Elin nursed till like she was like 13 months and I totally cried when we stopped. Mm-hmm. Finn nursed till 18 months and I was like, get off of me. We are done here. So if you have a second one, that might fix that for you.
It's true. You never know. Yeah, it's like exactly. No, it's the one thing. It was 18 months, Kara.
I couldn't break him of it. He was
Kara, that's so amazing.
But also like I hadn't gone back to work really like continuously. Yeah. So I was around and it was easiest, especially with an older child. I could run everywhere and not have to worry about bringing anything with me. Cause once he was older and eating food, but like, I just always had things, you know, I don't know. He took me for a ride a little bit. Like I said, very dramatic. manipulator, you guys.
Oh no.
Get ready, okay? Get ready, girl.
Okay, we'll do it.
Like the magical part right now where there are 6 months and I feel like 6 to 12 months, all the things start waking up to this. You start to really see their personality and they start to do new tricks. Like you said, the sticking out of the tongue and they'll start winking and the babbling. Like you guys are in such a magical time. And I think being able to be home for it in this pandemic, as hard as it is, it's a gift in a lot of ways.
Oh my God. And both your babies look so snuggly. I just have to say, those are some snuggly babies. Elliot was like, super lithe and like lean and she never had any rolls or anything. So I'm always like, oh, I want one of those babies to just
you just want to eat.
Oh cheeks. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah.
So good.
Oh my gosh, ladies.
Oh man.
Oh,
How did we do this? I don't understand.
Birds and the bees.
Yeah.
I remember when I first became a mom that I was so enamored with that title, like that I literally was calling myself, I'm a mother. Wait, what? This is,
I still don't believe it.
I'm a mother. Yeah. I would assume that in the state that you're in 6 months in, it's like this thing you're trying on for size in a weird way. But it's something that you are now forever. And
you're their person.
Yeah.
I have to pinch myself all the time.
You're the mom. Like when they're like, I want my mom. That's you.
Just Kara and I are like freaking out. Yeah. It's still like sinking in. Oh my gosh. What the heck?
Holding him for the first time and saying that to him, like, I'm your mom. I'm your mom. That's crazy. Whoa.
Oh my gosh.
Brain explosion. And it just keeps going, you guys. I mean, you know, Kara and I have, our girls are, you know, 6 and 5 and,
oh my gosh.
And it's wild. It just, you look at them and you're like, you're a person. You are a person with opinions and thoughts and your own agenda. And it's just wild. It's wild. Yeah. So, you know, and it goes by in a flash. I mean, it's cliche, but it's true. Like, it goes by in a flash. The days are long and the years are short, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm already feeling that. It's like 6 months already, but like, holy smokes, how do we get through a day?
Yeah. But you're doing it. Right. You guys are doing it.
And that part doesn't go away. I mean, I feel like there's plenty of days where you're like, how are we going to get through a day?
Yeah.
But you do, and then you turn around and your child's a year older and you're Like, how did
Well, you guys are rock stars, and thank you for showing us all that it can be done, and we can you can do it with such grace and beauty and still be amazing Broadway stars, performers. I know, and even
extra time
it's
to
amazing.
Do this.
Yeah. I mean, truly, you're organizing extracurriculars. I mean, what? Are you kidding me? I can't even get a lip gloss on. This is ridiculous.
We weren't doing extracurriculars when we were where you are.
No. Definitely no.
It will all, you will, by the time you get to where we are, you'll be like, what else have you got?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
But although then, please don't let them be school age in a pandemic, because then you have to teach them and you have to do, and then you lose all your extra time. So.
I know. I'm so happy it's Saturday and we don't have school. Like, yeah. I don't have to be a teacher today. Hallelujah.
It's you guys, amazing. That's
but
too
you
much.
Girls, you ladies, you are rock stars. And truly. Thank you for joining us, and try to just like appreciate this time. And
aww, it's, thank we you haven't so had much. Any guests that have had babies, Jess, really.
No,
and,
that's true.
And it's, aww. It just, it makes me feel all warm and fuzzy. Like, this is, you guys are in that magical sweet spot. And even though it can feel really
Kara, I love looking at your face because I feel like I'm like feeling the same thing. I just love it. We're in the same baby zone. It's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so great. I mean, we're
doing it.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. Special shout outs to Rachel Spencer Hewitt for our fabulous graphic, Kristen Anderson Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Ward Weber for our awesome theme song, our producers Dory Berenstein, Alan Seals, and of course, the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you.
If you like what you're hearing and you want to keep the conversation going, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and of course, subscribe and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.